Support for Here and Now comes from BetterHelp, committed to supporting mental health through therapy. Clients are matched with one of 25,000 therapists and can communicate via video, chat, or phone at betterhelp.com/public.
The Biden administration is ramping up alliances in Asia to address what the U.S. says are deep concerns over China's repression at home and aggression abroad. The Philippines is an important part of that Asia pivot, but as NPR's Julie McCarthy reports, resetting relations is fraught.
Any reset with one of the Americans' longest-running allies in Asia is not likely to be smooth. Philippine President Rodrigo Duterte is accused of flagrantly trampling the very human rights that U.S. policymakers now seek to defend. De La Salle University's Renato De Castro says Duterte's infamous anti-drug war that has killed thousands of Filipinos is just the beginning.
You have, of course, the emergence of an illiberal democracy here in the Philippines. Curtailment of press freedom, then arrest of opposition figures. The Duterte administration couldn't care less.
Washington may profoundly disagree with Duterte over human rights, but there are exigencies that loom in this long-standing and tangled relationship.
Both countries need each other.
That's analyst Murray Hebert, author of the new book, Under Beijing's Shadow. He says the U.S. wants its strategically placed partner in the Pacific to closely coordinate policy with it on military thinking.
The U.S. needs access to the Philippines so that it has easy access to the South China Sea.
And he says the Philippines needs the U.S. to help it build a stronger navy, train its troops, and figure out what China is doing. In the South China Sea, Beijing has militarized artificial islands, weaponized its own fishing fleet, and attacked trawlers from the Philippines and Vietnam. Carl Thayer, emeritus professor at the University of New South Wales, Canberra, says the U.S. would like the Philippines to help blunt China's growing influence and aggression in the region.
The starting premise is China has so militarized the South China Sea and has increased its naval presence so much that it's put U.S. predominance at risk. The whole point is Chinese hegemony in East Asia.
Thayer says the Philippine archipelago is a good place to put the U.S. military on a rotating basis to offset China's militarization. 30 years have passed since the U.S. closed its bases in the Philippines, and the legacy still ignites tension. And Duterte says his country will not be forced to take sides in any superpower rivalry. He sniffs that while the Americans focus on basing, the Chinese are doling out COVID-19 vaccines to the Philippines. But Duterte's armed forces, and much of the public, do not endorse the president's anti-American thunderings. In fact, Murray Hebert says the small countries of Southeast Asia generally support the Americans being present to balance China's assertiveness.
But don't do it too aggressively, and don't get into a war, for God's sake. Do not get into a war.
But Biden's foreign policy team must contend with a mercurial President Duterte. Just after taking office in 2016, the Philippine leader traveled to Beijing and announced his separation from decades-old ally, the U.S. Hebert says China could hardly believe its luck, and Duterte went home with $24 billion in Chinese investment and loan pledges.
Now, 4 years later, virtually nothing has happened. The Chinese have built a few little bridges and worth a couple of $100 million, but none of the billions that China promised.
Until recently, Duterte carefully sidestepped any mention to Beijing of its need to comply with a landmark ruling at a Hague tribunal. It declared China's vast claim to nearly all of the South China Sea illegal. But analyst Renato De Castro says if Duterte thought years of appeasing China would moderate its behavior, he was wrong.
Just last month, China passed a Coast Guard law, which basically allows Chinese Coast Guard vessels to fire at foreign vessels in the South China Sea. So this is what he got for trying to cut a deal or appease China. So this leaves him no choice. You have to go back into the alliance.
The U.S.-Philippine alliance. But Duterte has put the Americans on notice that they will have to pay. To host U.S. soldiers under the Visiting Forces Agreement, he says the U.S. must compensate the Philippines $16 billion, four times what they now pay. Filipinos also want to protect Philippine sovereignty when U.S. personnel commit crimes on their soil. Carl Thayer says the change of leadership in the United States is a good opportunity for all sides to move away from entrenched positions and reengage.
And the important thing with Duterte is to listen to him. That's what he wants.
No doubt President Biden remembers Duterte's profanity-laced insults of President Barack Obama when he raised the specter of human rights abuses in the Philippines. Hebert expects the Biden team to broach the topic discreetly.
And say it quietly rather than through the news media, because that just, Duterte blows a fuse every time you do that.
But Duterte is fast becoming a lame duck, with his term expiring in just over a year. Then, analysts say, it's a whole new ballgame. Julie McCarthy, NPR News.